and listen in to a radio station where the mighty hosts of heaven sing. Turn your radio on.
Turn your radio on.
Turn your radio on.
Turn your radio on.
If you want to hear the songs of Zion coming from the land of endless spring, get in touch with God.
Get in touch with God.
Turn your radio on.
Don't touch that dial. Stay a while and listen to the great things that God is doing in the world today. Global Air Force is here to bring God's love, help, and power into your life. Come fly with Global Air Force. And here's your host, Jim Rohn.
Today on our program, our guest is Todd White. Now, he's been on our program many times, and he is a most interesting teacher, speaker. Hi, Todd. So good to have you today.
How you doing?
Are you a pastor?
I'm a full-time Christian. I love Jesus with everything I am. I've submitted to God in every area of my life, and what I do is just live out the kingdom on a daily basis, and it went from a place of, you know, like I said before, it went from a place of horrific drug addiction and destroying, death, loss, and destruction, which is exact like characteristics of the devil, of the enemy, to a complete a life and life more abundantly. Actually, the word abundance means violently excessive. So God has given me the ability to walk out a violently excessive life. And it actually in Romans 5:17, it says that I'm supposed to reign as a king in this life through the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness. So reigning as a king doesn't mean look at me, I'm a king. But reigning as a king means that we are so heavenly minded that we're earthly incredible. To where people see our lives and they are so freaked out by our very existence because we actually do everything with integrity, with the utmost honor. And we don't give honor when we receive honor. We give honor because it's who we've become. See, I don't give mercy to my employer because I want to be shown mercy one day. I've become mercy because I've received mercy. I don't give forgiveness to an employer or to somebody that's mean to me and say, I'll forgive you so that one day I may obtain forgiveness. I walk and live forgiveness because I have been forgiven. The gospel set me free from me. It's awesome.
You have so radically changed that there's been like a shear between your past and how you live now. How can we get that experience of being so clean and so directed?
Right. Well, the first thing that Jesus, he doesn't say, deny the devil, pick up your cross, and follow him. That's not what the gospel says. The gospel actually says to deny yourself, pick up the cross, and follow him. So if he said deny the devil, that would be one thing. Then we could constantly, and actually people have brought the deny the devil thing into resist the devil. Resist the devil and he'll flee. And we've taken that and we've made it scripture, but we've forgotten the first part. See, when God says, therefore, in James, it says, therefore, submit to God, resist the devil and he'll flee. See, submission to God is the resistance of the devil. I don't have to command the devil to get behind me because he already is. The only thing that the devil doesn't have access to your present and your future. The only thing the devil has access to is your past and who you were. He's not a God of the things present and the things of the future. He's a God of the things past. So what happens is he has access to your past. And the more you believe your past still exists, the less you believe that the blood has done what it's done. The devil will try to bring you back into his territory. But if he can get you to turn around, then he's got you where he needs you. See, what happens is Christians will have, let's say we hear a voice and all of a sudden we thought that we were, this is notorious, the devil's notorious for this. We hear this voice coming and we say, well, we already asked God to forgive us of that. And all of a sudden we hear a voice.
Yeah.
See, mm-hmm. John, it says in the gospel, it says in John, it says that Jesus said, my sheep will hear and obey my voice. but as strangers, they will not follow. So the stranger's voice whispers into our life to try to remind us of who we were, so we can never get to who we are and things present and things to come. Jesus tells us who we are. A lot of people are seeking deliverance to stop a voice, and they think it's something that's inside that needs to get out. But I would like to tell you that it's not a voice inside. It's a voice outside trying to get back in to reclaim your identity so that he can take you outside of sonship and put you into a place where you have to work in order to prove who you are, where you have to perform in order to be. But Jesus says that it's an attitude of being. He said that out of who you are as a place of being, the Beatitudes are a place of being. It's being, it's being. He said, I shared it last night. It says, those who hunger and thirst for righteousness shall be filled. And a lot of times in the body of Christ, we've searched and we've sought out stuff, and we've sought this and we've sought that, and we've gone after this and I want that. And we've actually gone after the blessing. We've actually gone after finances and God's going to bless me. And we've come into the kingdom and we've become Christians that are in it for us, because Satan knows that if he can mess with our life, if he can touch you the wrong way, all of a sudden he'll rattle you. And all of a sudden you've got a beef with God because God didn't show up. Because when you came into the kingdom, you came in thinking that you're just coming in to get blessed. You're not here to get blessed. You're here to become a blessing. So out of us becoming a blessing, God can bless that, because God blesses identity. God blesses sonship. Satan's after us ever finding out who we are as sons and daughters. Look, with Eve, he said to Eve, he said, God just knows that when you eat this, you'll be like him. They were already like him. So now Jesus is on the earth. Satan sees one that's just like the one that he saw before. The one that he saw before, they bit it, and then they jumped right in. They gave the keys of dominion over to the devil in the garden that day. So it was prophesied in Genesis 3. It said, the seed of this woman, you're going to bruise his heel, but he's going to crush the head of your seed. So one day, the seed of this woman's going to come, capital S. So Jesus is on the scene, and Satan comes up, and the first temptation that he says to Jesus is, if you're the Son of the living God, then turn these stones into bread. So the first temptation that Jesus faced was, if you're a son, do something to prove it. Jesus is like, well, man doesn't live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. And we can look in Deuteronomy and say, you know, that's scriptural. That's true. But what did Jesus just hear before he went out into the wilderness? God said, this is my son in whom I'm well pleased. The last thing he heard from God was, this is my son. So God, through Jesus Christ, has said that all of us have become sons and daughters. So what Satan's after is our sonship. And if he can keep us bound to who we were, we can never get to who we are, because we don't believe the finished work of the cross.
As you're talking today, it sounds so simple. In fact, its simplicity hasn't been taught. It seems to be a complicated religious theological matter, and it requires deep thinking and a special calling to understand it.
See, that's it right there. See, I think that the simplicity, see, it says in 2 Corinthians 11:3, it says, I fear, listen to this, I fear lest as Satan deceived Eve through his craftiness, so your minds may be corrupted and taken away from what? From the simplicity that's in the Christ. I fear, just like Satan deceived Eve by telling her that if you do this, you'll be like God, because we were already created in the image of God. They were already like God. So now Satan tries to get us to do things to prove that we're sons. And all we've got to do is submit to who God says we are. Our identity's not for sale. And so many people are scrapping for identity to find out who they really are. We're in the church, and God says that through his blood, everything has changed. All things have become new. I don't believe I'm a special case. A lot of people are like, well, Todd, you know, the reason why you love much is because you were such a horrible sinner. So we use the woman at, like, where she broke the alabaster jar on Jesus' feet. And Simon, she's at Simon's house. And it's in Luke 7. And she says, you know, Jesus is like, Simon, suppose you had two, one owed 50 and one owed 500. Now, the master knew that neither could repay the debt, so he freely forgave them both. And Jesus said, Simon, I ask you this, which one was more loved? And he said, I suppose the one whom he forgave more. And he said, you've spoken well. And this woman whose sins are many, who is a sinner, right?
Yes.
She's been forgiven, so she loves much. So people, all my life in Christianity, like since I got saved 7 years ago, it's been 7 years now. The reason why you love so much, the reason why, like we started the interview off with, you know, Todd, you had such a sheer, there's such a sheer in your life, there's such a difference. I don't believe it's a special case. I believe it's because of what I see. I believe that if Satan can distract us from purposing in our heart to understand who we are in identity as sons and daughters, he'll get us to seek after everything else but Matthew 6:33 with the seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and everything will be added to you. So the first beginning point of the gospel is seeking the kingdom. What's the kingdom? The rule of God's government, the governing, the rulership of God that governs from within. The kingdom of God's not meat or drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. So the kingdom's in the Holy Ghost. Then it says, and seek his righteousness. When I say kingdom, people think authority. It's authority. We've got authority in Christ. When I tell people, what's the kingdom? It's authority. We've got authority. That's great. So without authority, we will quench the spirit because we won't walk in the power of God. But what happens when we don't walk in righteousness? We won't walk in the character of God. We won't look in the identity of sons. We won't understand who we are, and we'll be scrapping to try to attain something that Jesus paid a price for. So instead of working in a son-heir paradigm that Jesus established, we'll be working in a do-to-get paradigm, trying to perform to get. And in the Old Testament, they had to perform in order to be. Perform to be, perform to be, perform to be. They had to do in order to be. So in the New Testament, we be in order to do. It changes everything. So out of a place of being, we do what we do. I don't do what I do because it's what I do. I do what I do because it's who I am. I'm a son. So this woman, she washes her tears and the oil, the alabaster jar, a year's worth of wages would have cost for this oil. So she puts it on his feet with her hair and tears. She washes it. And Simon is doing this. And Jesus corrects him and says about 50 and 500. So all of a sudden, like Jesus said, this woman's going to go down forever. And because she was forgiven much, she loves much. So all the time people are like, Todd, like, I know why you love much, because you are such a horrible sinner. And I bit the bait for a while, and I didn't allow God to speak to me, because that's what the church knows to be true. If you're a horrible sinner, it says more grace will abound. You know, where sin abounds, grace abounds much more. What we don't realize is that we've all been equally forgiven. We've all been equally forgiven. So was I more forgiven than you were? No. Look at the 613 laws. Look at all the laws and find out which ones you broke. Sin is a sin is a sin is a sin. We're completely messed up, right? So both of us equally messed up. Who was more forgiven when we said yes, me or you? It's not a trick question, but who can seem like they're more forgiven? The one that had more junk. Why? It's okay. But the reason why I'm asking that is because the body of Christ hasn't come to the revelation that they've been forgiven. So we're still tracking with the enemy that's trying to pin us to who we were, and we can never get to who we are, because all of us have been equally forgiven. And when the revelation of a complete forgiveness comes to a Christian, they realize that there is zero accusation. There are zero closets that need to be attended to. There are zero skeletons that need to be cleaned out. That when Jesus said it's finished, he freely forgave us both equally, and neither of us was more forgiven. But to the one that understands forgiveness in the depth of it, will love much, because he realizes how much he's been forgiven. It totally changes it, because it's preached, well, you know, you were a horrible sinner, so now you're forgiven much. That's why you love like you do. Nope. The measuring stick of the gospel isn't this or that. It's that an innocent man hung guilty on a tree. Well, you know, Jesus knew no sin. It's 2 Corinthians 5:21. Talked about it last night. It says, he who knew no sin became sin so that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Who has more righteousness, me or you? Neither of us have more. We're both obtained the same amount of righteousness. Which one of us was loved more by God when we first said yes? Both of us were equally loved by God. God loves everybody the same. And so now the revelation of God's forgiveness comes into the heart of a believer. We believe that we've truly been forgiven, and we can't help but to love much. It's amazing. See, Jesus is the visible image of the invisible God. Colossians 1:15.
Exact.
That's right. And now you've got Hebrews 1:3 that says that Jesus was the express image of the Father.
Yeah.
Okay, so now in John 14, you've got Philip and they're talking and Jesus is like, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. He didn't say no one comes to heaven except by me. He said no one comes to the Father except by me, right? So Jesus is the way to the Father. But this is crazy because Philip's like, okay, well then show us the Father because we're freaking out here. You're going to the Father, at least show him where he is. So Jesus is like, Philip, have I been with you so long and you don't know me? He who has seen me has seen the Father. And the last time I read my Bible, which was today, it says to follow Jesus. It says to follow. It says in 1 John, it says, anybody that says that they abide in him ought walk just as he walked. Mm-hmm. So I'm supposed to walk just as Jesus walked. So how did Jesus walk? Watch this. God is love, it says in 1 John, that God is love. He is love. So God is love. It's what love looks like, what love talks like, what love acts like. How do we know that? Jesus was the visible image of the invisible God. So Jesus was the visible image of love in action. Jesus was the express image of the Father. He was the express image of God. Philip said, show us the Father. And Jesus said, has love been with you that long and you don't know me? That's really it. So now the gospel, when we go into the secret place, I don't go into the secret place so I can perform miracles. I don't go into the secret place so I can get stuff from God. I've never prayed about, God, I need this and I need that. The only reason I go into my closet is so that I can become like him in my understanding of who I already am. So my secret place time is, God, I want to look at people through your eyes. I want to hear people through your ears. I want to know who people are because of what you say they are. God, I want to have your heart so that I can look at somebody. In 2 Corinthians in chapter 5, where it says we're a new creation, it says right before that, it says, therefore we regard nobody according to the flesh. Why? Because if one died, then all died. So I don't regard anybody according to the flesh. That means that I'm no longer going to look at them according to the fall of man, according to what they've done or didn't do. I'm going to look at people through the eyes of God and see their potential, pull out the gold in their life so that they can finally see who they're created to be. And a Christian's role is to pull the gold out in people. Come on, in that same chapter, it says that Jesus was given the ministry of reconciliation, reconciling people back to a loving Father. Why? Why reconciling people back to the Father? Because Jesus was the visible image of God. So it was easy to reconcile people back to the Father because when they saw Jesus, they saw the Father. And what they saw was love. And they followed him for days and days and days. And you know what love didn't do? Love didn't point out their faults. Love didn't point out their wrong. Love didn't point out their transgressions and hold it against them. And it says that Jesus was given the ministry of reconciliation, not imputing the world's trespasses against them. That's what it says. And it says that we have been given the same ministry of reconciliation, not imputing the world's trespasses against them. What does love do? Love keeps no record of wrongs. Love hopes the best. Love doesn't ever look back. Love doesn't look back at what was wronged. Love just loves. Love doesn't say, I love you. Do you love me? Love just loves. Love doesn't put an expectation on somebody that says, if you meet this, then I'll love you. What that means is I'm really loving people for me. I'm not loving people for God. I'm not loving them from God. Jesus didn't put an expectation on his disciples and said, you guys, you do this and I'll love you. No, that's not what he says. He said, God, I thank you that you've loved them as you have loved me. Man, and Jesus was the visible image of love. So what's a Christian do? A Christian realizes what he's been forgiven of. He realizes the magnitude and the depth and the goodness of God. Because it's the goodness of God, when we recognize his goodness and his amazing grace that's upon our life, his goodness brings us to repentance, to the place where we couldn't go another day without this amazing God, this relationship that we have, this amazing relationship with a loving God that would never hold our stuff against us. And we have a lot of the body where I talk to them and they're like, man, you've got such patience. Like, how comes, like, you got this patience? Where did this come from? And I ask, I said, if we had a conference on patience, I say sometimes, like, people wouldn't show up. Because they're like, man, did you ever pray for patience? Man, it's in the body of Christ. It's like, I don't pray for patience, man. Pray for patience and everybody slow gets in front of you and you get every stoplight and all that, every parking place, everything. It's common. It's in the world. Don't pray for patience. You know what patience is? Patience is the first fruit of love because the first thing love is patient. So a lack of patience is the first sign of a lack of love. But when we've become love, we'll automatically become patient because love is patient. Love is kind. Love is amazing. This thing's really a whole lot simpler. I think that we've made a war with a lot of different stuff, not realizing that we're actually says this. It says, you know, it says, who can know the mind of the Lord? And it says, but we have the mind of Christ. So God's given us a new mind. It says in Hebrews 8, it says, you know, if the first covenant would have been good enough, there would have been no, if God didn't find fault, I think it's Hebrews 8, 7, it starts in there, and it says, therefore, if God would have saw that the first covenant was good, then he wouldn't have found fault with it. He wouldn't have saw a need for a second. But he made a different covenant, a second covenant. Why? Because he saw the first one had fault. The first one, it needed change. So now we've got this brand new covenant. It's a blood covenant. It can never be broken. When you're in. God loves you so much. So we got a brand new heart that comes fully equipped with the whole word already in it. So we've got a brand new heart that's not wicked, that's not dirty, that's not nasty. God gave us all a heart to know him. When you get born again and you give your life to God, God gave you a brand new heart, and your heart already has purpose in it to know the Father. So it's not a wicked heart. We teach people, you know what? Well, you're just a sinner and you're always going to be a sinner. The Bible doesn't even teach you that you're a sinner anymore. The Bible teaches you that you were a sinner saved by grace, but you were translated out of the kingdom of darkness and into the kingdom of the Son of his light. So you were translated out of darkness and into light. The Bible teaches you that you were a sinner, you got saved by grace, and grace has made you a son. You can't be a son and a sinner. If I teach you, Jim, if I teach you that you're a sinner, you'll sin by faith.
Yeah, yeah, that's true.
You have faith to sin.
You know why? Some days you feel, why? Why even try?
Yeah, watch, man. It's a lack of identity and seeing who you really are. This is just, it's all about sonship. The devil is after our identity as sons. He's after Christ in us, the hope of glory, ever being understood.
This is his target.
It's his target. His target. See, Satan cannot come up into heaven and dethrone God. Satan tried to do that, and God put him out of heaven and put him here on earth so that his creation could thump him.
Would you like to pray for our audience?
Yeah. Amen. Well, Lord, I just thank you right now for the body of Christ. God, I thank you for every ear that's listening. I don't care if it's the 10th time. I don't care if it's the first time. You might have just tuned in and just caught the end of it, and we're like, what is going on? And Holy Spirit has captivated your heart, and you can't turn it off. You've tried a couple of times, and there's no way. So, Father, I thank you that you'd enter into the vehicle right now and possess the heart of people. God, I thank you in the name of Jesus, Holy Spirit, that you would so overwhelm the hearts of people in such a way where they would realize that they're really sons and really daughters. That, God, this has just been amazing. Jesus, we just welcome you, the blood, the covenant that you've made, an unshakable, unbreakable covenant, one that you saw fit, God, that we don't have issues, God, but our lifetime subscription to issues has been canceled by blood. Father, thank you for grace and favor and increase. Holy Spirit, come. We welcome you. We welcome you to possess our hearts, God, to possess our hearts, our minds. God, I thank you for complete wholeness in Jesus' name of everybody listening. God, I thank you that you would make them a Holy Ghost wrecking ball, that you would possess their life in such a way where you would completely dominate them. Dominate them, Holy Spirit. God, we just submit to you. We give you our life. We're asking you to possess us. God, if you're as real as the Bible says, we're asking you right now for an encounter. God, we welcome you that you would come and baptize people in your fire. Father, I thank you that you're having people even pull over their cars, even just pause and just ponder on this, God. Thank you, Father, that this prayer will stay active, that your anointing would rest upon it, and it would wreck the devil's plans for destruction, loss, and twisted truth.
Wow. Amen. Amen. I thank you, Todd White.
Global Air Force wants you. Be a part of the Global Air Force Radio Ministry. Please go to our website at www.globalairforce.net. That's www.globalairforce.net.
Turn to your first love. Put Jesus first again. The love in your heart you had when you first started could be there again. Return to your first love. You say
sometimes you win some, sometimes you lose some. And right now I'm losing bad. Stood on this stage night after night, reminding the broken it'll be alright. But right now, oh, right now I just can't. It's easy to say when there's nothing to bring me down. But what will I say when I'm held to the flame like I am right now?
That's all for today. God bless.
Global Air Force is here to bring God's love, help, and power into your life. Come fly with Global Air Force.